finally finished with patience. So now we're going to get into godliness. Now, where were we? Godliness. Patience. Have patience. Be patient. Have patience. There you go. Second Peter. 1:1. I should have made these. Can you see that, Rebecca? Can you see that? What? Okay. Danny? Joe? Rach? Okay. I'm going to make it a little bit bigger next time, but when I get, I'm doing this on the computer at home, and I'll go up to about 14 or 16 on the fonts, and I don't know how big that looks. But it must need to go to 20, because I can do this, but that's not gonna help a lot. So anyway. Okay, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to him that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto thee through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's what we're doing now. We're getting into the knowledge of God. Because it all is godly knowledge. But there's knowledge on the pyramid, and we went through that. But all this is knowledge, because knowledge is knowing. Right. Knowledge is knowing what you're doing. All right. So that's what God wants us to do. He gave us the new birth as a guide. But even being our guide, if you have a guide, you need to be guided to somewhere. Danny and I don't need a guide where we went fishing yesterday. We've been going up there for 30 years. We know every inch of the place. So we don't need a guide there. Why? Because we already know what we're doing. But now if he and I were to go Colorado fishing on the White River or go to Montana on the White River fishing, we don't need a guide because we've never been there before. So being the God's give us a guide, the Holy Ghost, and being that he was a guide, then he's the one that's going to have to guide us into all truth. That's what the Bible says. He'll lead and guide you into all truth. And all truth is that we're not just to get the new birth and then sit down and be still. No, we got to fight for every inch of ground. Same with Joshua. Joshua had to fight. Sure, the land was his, but he had to fight for every inch of it. So that's what we're doing now. We're fighting a battle. And we'll see here that in godliness, watch as we go on through this, because I want you to see grace and peace be multiplied on you through the knowledge of God. As we grow up this statue of a perfect man, we should be more aware of what's going on around us. We should be growing. We should be, how many of you are praying for godliness? How many of, as we go through, I know Sister Johnny is because she sends me emails and how that God's helping her, and that's wonderful. You can send me an email if you want to. It's nice to sometimes to voice, you know, what's going on in your life. But have you prayed for godliness, or are we just going through this, and you're saying, well, then you just teach me. See, that's no more than Catholic Church. That's no more than the Catholic Church. I'm standing up here, and you say, oh, by the way, that's wonderful. That's just about saying, well, Pope, thank you very much for... You understand what I'm saying? You got to obtain... Listen, verse 1, to them that have obtained. Peter didn't say, I've obtained it and you can't get it. See, that's what the Catholic Church does. They say, we've got it, the Pope's got it, and nobody else can get it, but we're going to tell you what it is, and you just accept what we say. Right. Okay? Well, see, that's where, like I was saying the other Wednesday night about dogma. That's a personal view that's just like this. Now, that's totally different than Revelation. Now, Revelation is this. Jesus didn't have a dogma. Jesus had a doctrine. There's a difference in dogma and doctrine. If you bring dogma, then you bring your own idea. That's pretty simple. You know, if you're dogmatic about something, that's okay to be, you can say that word, but still, you got to be careful because the Catholic Church says this is the way it is, and that's what Brother Branham said. Creeds and dogmas has bound the Holy Ghost. Why? Because this is it. Pentecost bound the Holy Ghost by their dogma that says you must speak in tongues to receive the Holy Ghost. That's a dogma. Now, that's not a doctrine. Sure, they say it's a doctrine. They uphold it as a doctrine, but it's man's ideas. And if we're just preaching man's ideas, then we're just preaching dogma. We're just preaching dogmatic ideas that's my ideas and nobody else's. But if you take the Word of God, though, it's a doctrine. Jesus had a doctrine, and his doctrine was the truth, every word of it. So if we come back to that, I don't understand when some people say that even I, you know, well, Dad for one is arrogant. And no, there's a confidence and arrogance is really close. But when you preach the Word of God in its purity, that's not arrogance. Paul stood up one day and he preached to a great big group of people and he said, "You'll be judged by my gospel." And if an angel come from heaven, that's where he got his revelation from. He said, if an angel comes from heaven, in other words, if an angel walked through that door and stood beside me and preached anything else besides what I preached to you, let him be accursed. In other words, he didn't come from heaven. You understand what I'm saying? So why can't we be confident, but not arrogant, but confident in what God's given us, and confident that if one word got us out of the garden, being one word off is going to keep us out of the garden. But if we can find that one word, and I ain't mean one word, but you know what I mean? The word that'll get us back in the garden, why not be confident about it? Why not be like Paul? Paul said, "I run this race well." He was pretty, you know, he was a staunch Jew. He was confident, though. You know why? Because he met God. Moses was pretty confident. Moses was a meek and mild man, but he was very confident because God told him, "You're the one that's going to lead children of Israel out of Egypt." Okay? And even in his inadequacies, even he needed Aaron and he needed 70 people. So what? He got them to the promised land, didn't he? Well, Joshua took them over, but he got them to the promised land. All right? So that's what we're going to look at in godliness. I hope that we're building the virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. And I hope that's something that you're praying for, not just something that I'm going to teach you and you're going to hear it and it's going to click on and now I have knowledge of it and now I know. No, it's a daily walk. It's your walk, not mine. It's nothing more than a daily walk with God in your job. And if you're not working, if you're retired, then you should be more blessed. You got more time to study. Okay? So take this as the virtues that are required. Remember, they're not just needed, they're required for us to take a body change. There's no way we're going to take a body change without these virtues working in our life. Is that right? Say amen. Will not take a body change. Now, it doesn't mean you're not born again. Doesn't mean you're going to have to die. Period. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Peter, James, and John had all the virtues. They're dead. Paul had the virtues. He's dead. Something's got to take us on up to the capstone. And not only change Sarah's body, but Sarah's body had to be changed inside. Because she couldn't receive a child when she was a young girl in the first place. So not only did God change her back, he changed her atoms inside her body so she could receive a child. So God's not only going to change these bodies, he's going to, like I was saying the other Wednesday night, he's going to change this thing. This thing is vile. This thing is, it's not, there's flesh and blood's not going to inherit the kingdom. But the flesh and blood that he gives us, what he did last Sunday, dying for our sins and raising up. Well, in that raising up, he took us and we're already in a glorified condition. In his mind, we're already in a glorified condition. Right? Okay? And I really caught something the other day. And here we are back to what we're off the subject again. But I was thinking about something the other day. Daddy's always said, I got to quit saying Daddy. They tell me on the internet not to say Daddy because some of them don't know what I'm talking about. Brother Dale says that watch that you don't redeem yourself out of existence. See, I caught that when I was preaching on that the other Wednesday night. If you say this body is going to be redeemed as it is, you hear me? As it is, what is redeemed? It's to take back to its original condition. Well, the original condition of this is back down in the earth. Isn't that right? The original condition of this thing right here was my mom and daddy ate beans and potatoes, and it's in the earth. So if I want this redeemed back, I'm going to redeem myself out of existence. I'm going to be potash and calcium and all that stuff. We got to get to see that God in his mind, before the foundation of the world, he saw what you were going to look like. And he connected to you down here. And this is going to go, but it's not going to go in this condition. This is fallen condition. But redeem means to bring back, right? So what's he going to bring it back to? What he saw. What he saw. Because it's always, remember, and that brought back Ephesians 1 again, that we were chosen in him, not of him, in him. So if his body's redeemed, mine's redeemed. No, he didn't. He saw her as a 20-year-old woman. So where'd that body come from? And you know, when you and I were discussing that, listen, one more thing, because there was a lot of people thought, well, I was saying something I wasn't. It is this body redeemed, but it's not this body redeemed. You understand what I'm saying? It's the framework. It's who I am. It's the human being that I am. All right? But with Sharon Rose, now she died at 6 months old, right? Or 8 months, whatever it was. She was a baby. Now listen, let's just be plain and honest. Sharon Rose, the baby that died when Hope died, Brother Branham's first child, when he went, wherever he went in that vision, he saw a 20-year-old girl standing there. And she says, Dad. He said, I didn't know who she was. Now listen, let's just be real honest. You say, well, it was that six-month-old body made into 20-year-old. Now these things that was in a six-year-old body, six-month-old body that's not in a 20-year-old body. Do everybody understand what I'm saying? Humanly speaking, that had to come from the mind of God. But see, in the mind of God is calcium, potash. Hey, he's that. Where do you think he created it from? He created it from his mind. His mind, the expansion of God is what we're standing on. And then Brother Brown said he brought us down here to what? Display his attributes. Amen? To display his attributes. Because we're going back, not into the mind of God, because we've already come forth, and once he speaks it, we're not going back. Because like Brother Dale said, we're going to speak ourselves out of existence if we keep going back to, as a lot of message people say, you know, we can't go back to, because back to in the Garden of Eden, this was in the dirt. We got to go back to that mind of God where he saw this here, and he's going to put it together, change everything. That's why it's called a change. He's going to change everything, and then we're going to walk on the earth like we should have had there not been a fall. Now, we spoke that 1,000 times, but I hope it comes more alive to you now that we are not going to redeem ourselves out of existence. The true ones, the true believers know where you come from, and you can say, I came from God, and I go back to God. Well, where was I then? I was in the mind of God, but once he spoke it, once it come from a thought and then it was expressed, it can't go back the other way because it's already expressed. So this is the mind of God expressed in its natural reality, because God's thoughts are eternal. So if anything comes from God, it had to be eternal. If we come from God and go back to God, it's got to be eternal. Correct. In the negative form. I read that quote that Wednesday night. Right. If you'll read it, it says it's the person inside of you, there's a person being developed. What? It's for ours, not for God. It's for our understanding. God's already developed it before the foundation of the world. You and I just got to, like I said, the matching pieces, they got to come together. But see, in our baby form of our new birth, we're not at that condition yet. Everybody understand that? Because we still have the carnal mind, we still have the things of the world, and we're still going to have the things of the world, but we're going to have to learn how to handle the things of the world. By faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. You know what? It's going to take a special faith to get us out of here, but it's not going to be a faith to where it's 10 steps where we've been taking one step. It's just the same journey one step at a time. Because you and I are finite. We forget stuff. We remember stuff. And then we forget more than we remember. Never do we remember more than we forget. So we sure are not in an infinite condition. Because we forget more. Well, praise God, I do. I forget a lot more than I remember. So we're going toward the positive, though. But you know what? If this is laying in us, it can be quickened. If it's not laying in us, it can't be quickened. Like Aaron said Wednesday night, in non-seed, there's nothing to quicken. Okay, so if you're non-seed, you can't be quickened to this. But if you are seed, you can be quickened to this. And to take a body change, we must have this because this is the power that works its way out. Because God works from an inward to an outward. Satan's trying to work outward and get our inward being. Because he can't get in the soul if you're born again. But he's trying to kill your body. He's trying to get enough people killed, you know, to try to take godliness off the earth. But here God, he puts all these wonderful people down here in Satan's Eden, and he says, hey, go at it. Because watch, we're going to see it, and if we get to it, Brother Branham gives you a key right here. Let's finish reading this. According to his divine power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory in virtue. So he's already talking about godliness and hadn't gotten to it yet. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they're already in you. It's a new birth. You got all you need. It's a new birth. But abound. That means be overflowing. That means be full. That means you get that's where the word bountiful comes from. You get a bountiful crop. All right? Abound. If these things be in you and abound, they make you. See, that word, I like that word make. Because it's like Monica with that spanking spoon. She makes them kids be quiet. Why? Because they know that spoon's coming at them, not going to feed them in the mouth. It's going to hit the other end. Got it? So they make you. These things, in other words, this is what I circled that word in my Bible. Because the way I see it is when you get these virtues, it'll make you. It'll make you be this kind of person. Because you lose your will after that. Not my will, but thy will be done. All right, same way with you and I. That you shall neither be barren, it'll make you. That you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, buddy, if you got the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you're there. Okay? And that's what I believe Brother Branham brought us was the mind of God. He brought us the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who he was, what he was doing here, and why he was here. So then we can understand how we got here, what we're doing here, and where we're going. All right? That which was, which is to come. All right? Brother Branham read that many times in the seal book, and people don't catch that, but that's exactly what the seal's done. It showed you where you come from, what you're doing here, and where you're going. There's not a hope anymore. There's not a hope. You know, in the Baptist Church, Methodist, they have a hope. We hope this happens. We hope when Jesus comes. We hope. And it's okay to say hope, because the Bible does in Romans 8. It says, therefore, we have hope for it. What? But hope has to turn into faith. And faith is where you have to say, there's where the confidence is in. Because hope is like, well, I don't know if Daniel 70 weeks is right or not. Brother Branham made this here, and he made so many mistakes here. And Brother Branham wasn't right here in the cloud here. See, that, to me, that's breaking all faith down. And that's what Satan did with Eve. He broke her faith down. Now, that's what he's trying to do with you and I as the bride, as the Eve of the end time. He's trying to break us down. Whether we're Christians or not, he knows. Listen, Satan knows whether you're born again or not. You may not. But Satan knows if you're born again or not. He feels it. He's a spirit. He's a supernatural anointed being. So he knows whether you're born again or not. That's why Brother Bram says when you get the new birth, Satan turns every gun on you. Why? Because he knows he's going to try now to destroy your body. Get you off this earth because this is his Eden for right now. He wants to get you away from here. He don't even want to see you again. Because see, he can't go into sixth dimension. That's one thing for sure. Satan might can go in 4, 3, 2, and 1, or even 5, but 6 and 7, he's not allowed. I don't believe he's allowed there because only Christians go into sixth dimension, and Jesus is the only one in the seventh, glorified body in the seventh dimension. So Satan can only roam, see to and fro in the earth, the Bible says, but not in the sixth dimension. He ain't roaming around, I promise you that. Okay. I got to quit preaching and start teaching Sunday school. Greek lexicon. Okay. Godliness means holiness. That's pretty simple. But look, reverence, respect, piety towards God, or godliness. And here is where that same word is used. Timothy must have had a good observation of this, because a lot of this is in Timothy talks about godliness. But watch. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So there's a mystery of godliness. What is it? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now he's talking about Jesus Christ, right? Well, what about me and you? If we don't make it personal, then it's just a hope so. I hope Jesus did that. I hope he did. No. If you got the new birth, you know that, because great without controversy. In other words, I'm not even going to argue with you. Paul said, I'm not arguing with you about this. I'm just telling you who it is. God was manifest in the flesh. If you're born again, that's exactly true. Justified in the spirit. Amen. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Aren't we doing that now? Same thing. Believed on in the world and received up into the glory. That's where we're going to go when we get out of here. Then Timothy says in 1 Timothy 4:6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise. Do something. All right? Exercise your faith. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Okay? Having promise of the life that now is. He just showed you what was. Jesus Christ. What is. You. Having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. That which was, which is to come. All right? This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, you should accept this. It's worthy of all acceptance. We should accept this. That's what he's talking about. Then 2 Timothy talks about the other side, having a form of godliness. Not having godliness, but a form. Because Satan has a form of godliness. He's spiritual. He's supernatural. So he has a form. What's form? It's an image. Satan wants to be God. Okay? So that's pretty simple. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. All right? So turn away from those things that are not godliness. Let's see what Brother Brown talks about here. But if you got genuine faith and put genuine virtue to it, then genuine knowledge, then genuine temperance, then genuine patience, see? You're moving right on up the line, all right? Fifthly, add godliness. Oh my, godliness to be added. What does godliness mean? I looked on 4 or 5 dictionaries and couldn't even find what it meant. Finally, I was down at Brother Jeffrey's there, and we found in the dictionary, godliness means to be like God. Oh my, after you got faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, then be like God. You see, I can't do that, Brother Branham. Oh yes, you can. There's where you better lay it on right there. Oh yes, you can. Let me just read a few scriptures. Now, then he's fixing to tell you how you can. Is that kind of pretty simple? If he says, yes, you can, a prophet just don't say, yes, you can, and leave it hanging. He brings you back to the Word, because being a Word prophet, he has to tell you how this is going to happen. All right? Let me just read you a few scriptures here, just in Matthew 5:48. We'll take this one and see what it sounds like. Matthew 5:48, and see if you're supposed to be like God. You know the Bible says, ye are gods. Jesus said so. Why? All the virtue, all the things that's in God is in you. Matthew 5:48, be ye, Jesus speaking in the Beatitudes, be ye therefore, perfect. What's that? Perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You get way up here now before you're asked to do that. See, you're getting way up there before he asks you to be. Actually, you can't act. This you can act, but you can't be this part of godliness without faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance. These things are exactly the way they're supposed to be. All right? But now, you get way up here before you're asked to do that. All these things has to be added first. Then when you get up here, he's asked you now to be perfect, godliness, sons and daughters of God. That's right. How many things I could say along that line? Now he goes to Ephesians 4. What's Ephesians 4? How are you going to get godliness? What's Ephesians 4? He gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, and some teachers, some evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. All right? Let's turn to Ephesians 4 and find out over here that in the book of Ephesians it says about this thing too, about how we should do. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, begin with the 12th verse. Ephesians 4, begin with the 12th verse. All right, let's begin up here at the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Remember last night? Don't try to take the other man's office, see? Some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of God. Does it read like that? Congregation says no. The perfecting of what? Saints. Who are the saints? The sanctified ones. The ones started from down here. I'm sure he's pointing at the bottom of the pyramid from down here. All right? Perfecting of the saints for the working of the ministry of Jesus Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the edifying, building it up, edifying, until what? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and to the perfect man and to the assurance, oh my, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Statue of a perfect man. Yeah, that there it is right there on the header. Right. Yeah, that's what we're going to be on. We're on the statue of a perfect man. Perfect. Takes godliness. You have to add to your faith godliness. See, you start off down here with virtue. Then you go to knowledge. Then you go to temperance. Then you go to patience. Now you're on godliness. Godliness, oh my. Our time's getting away, let's see. But you know what godliness meant? You sing the song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. That's godliness. When he was smite on one side of the face, he turned the other. When he was spoke too rough, he didn't speak. He didn't rile back, see? Godly, always looking for one thing. Here's the key. I always do that which pleases the Father. Now, boy, we got a long way to go. I always do that which pleases the Father. But now remember, and I stopped right there, because it's a requirement. We've come up this far and you say, oh, godliness is the roughest one. No, I think brotherly kindness is the roughest one. Patience is, you know, everybody's got their different ones, the battles they got to fight. But brotherly kindness, Brother Branham says you must, the Bible says, you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. You say, well, I love my neighbor. He's a good guy. Don't ever give me no problems. You got to love him just like you love you. That's what Jesus said. He said, the greatest commandment. And then what did he tell him? He said, love one another. We'll see what Brother Branham says about brotherly kindness. That's why it's way up there at the top. Because you got to have every one of these virtues before you can have brotherly kindness. I promise you. Because that goes back. Remember, we talked about faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. It's something that's got to come from inside. That's what Billy Paul said. Said he did not know who. You wouldn't know if you talked to Brother Branham. There was no way you could tell if somebody was for him or against him. He spoke about everybody. Well, see, he had brotherly kindness. He had the seal of God. He had the Holy Spirit sealed all that in. And before we get to there, but I want you to chew on something. You know, Brother Branham had to go up this statue of a perfect man before he could preach it. You can't preach something you're not aware of. You can't. I mean, you can preach it, but you preach it in vain. You preach it in hope. But Brother Branham said it took him 30 years to preach this. Why? Because God had to take him up at statue of a perfect man, just like he did Peter. But see, Peter and him stopped where it says brotherly kindness, there with the Holy Spirit, molding all that together. But the headstone, or the revelation that brought all these things together, had not come yet. But it did come to Brother Branham. See, that's the adoption part. You're not adopted at faith. You get the spirit of adoption at faith. Everybody understand that? Maybe we'll talk about that next Sunday for a little bit. Because to come to adoption, you receive the spirit of adoption in Romans 8, somewhere in 16 or 18, somewhere in there. In Romans 8, you receive the spirit of adoption, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy, crying. You don't cry when you get up to brotherly kindness. Okay? Go ahead. That's correct. Mm-hmm.